B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
You know, I love how Nelson Aguilar gets all this flack, but I think Alshon should get a little bit more flack just because of when he came in, he was supposed to be our number one receiver.
Well, he came in, you won a Super Bowl, and I understand Nelson Aguilar was also on that team, and he had a hell of a game as well. But you mean to tell me when you watch both those athletes perform, you see as much effort from Nelson Aguilar as you see from Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, I don't know what Alshon Jeffrey you've been watching this year, but I'm not seeing the same type of guy. As far as he looks like a days ago to me, you could question Nelson Aguilar's effort, but I don't know if you're going to question his effort. If you're looking at Alshon Jeffrey, his body language has been terrible on the field.
You don't think that has anything to do with the strained calf?
Well. That's just like really like an excuse. He's still on the field.
An excuse or an explanation?
No, it's an excuse because the guy is still playing. So
yeah.
If he's on the field, I don't want to hear, you know, he has a cab because when he makes a catch, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody talks about the cab. So I think that's an excuse.
So you think they're on the same page? You think Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar are the same type of receiver?
Well, if you look at the stats.
I don't look at just the stats. I look at the game. I watch how they play in the game.
I understand that, but stats is numbers. Numbers can't be denied.
Yeah, you don't win. That's not how you got to win a game. You got to win a game by actually, putting forth an effort. And I actually see that from Alshon Jeffrey.
No, negative. I definitely don't see that from Alshon Jeffrey. You don't get
that's
anything.
That's insane to me.
Wait, Rasheem.
What you're saying is
Rasheem
crazy
Rasheem is
talk.
A huge Nelson Aguilar
wait,
fan.
Wait, Rasheem,
for
can
some
we
reason.
Can we rule?
It is not that I'm a huge Nelson Aguilar.
Are you
fan,
Nelson Aguilar? I know. At one point, I was wondering if this is Nelson Aguilar.
The disrespect for the guy who's in the NFL by people who was on talk radio, I think is a little bit over the top. I don't want to hear Trey Nelson. I don't even hear Trey disrespect him like I hear Jamie or like I hear Mark almost like, go across that line.
Saying he sucks isn't disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. Your question is a man.
Okay, Rasheem, let me be fair. Rasheem, let's be fair. Yeah. When you see a play with Prince Amukamara over the top and Nelson Aguilar doesn't even turn and the ball goes through his hands.
First of all,
what do you call that?
I watched that play about three times. So just because when you say he's questioning his effort,
yes.
he's trying to make a play on the ball. We all know that he's not the best tracker or.
Rasheed, why are you being so negative on Nelson Aguilar? Jeez,
I'm not being negative, but I know reality. He's not that type of player where you could throw a jump ball to him. I thought that play.
Yeah, at least not like Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey is 6'3", 214. You got to expect it from that type of player. Nelson Aguilar is 6', 198 pounds. And we all know that he's not that type of receiver where he's going to go up and get it.
But he's in the league.
Okay, but, different receivers have different specialties. Like, he's a slot receiver. That's not one of his specialties. Mm. So I'm kind of confused exactly. It's like he gives nothing. Alshon Jeffrey does nothing after the catch. He's averaging 36 yards per game. Nelson Aguilar is averaging, I'm looking at it, 43 yards per game. So it's just, the numbers don't lie. And I'm a big numbers guy.
Tell me this, Rasheem. What can be done to get a little bit more better production out of Aguilar out there on the field?
To me, I definitely think it's coaching because we seen when Golden Tate was here. I heard Mike Rowe saying that it was hard to put the guy in the offense. I see him miss four games with the Giants, and as soon as he come in a game, he's giving you 100 yards of receiver per game. He's giving you two touchdowns. But when he was here, it wasn't done. So I'm a big opponent of if the guy is doing something somewhere else that he should have been doing here. To me, I think it's coaching. You can't tell me that mm-hmm. it's nothing else but coaching because Nelson Aguilar showed you in the Super Bowl year that he was a playmaker.
Yeah, one out of five.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there. Nelson Aguilar's not very good. I don't want to defend a guy who has showed you time and time again the effort hasn't been there. And we got Jaws coming up in a minute, but I also have to tell you, we have this contest going on today, for Sixers jersey math from the great people of Rothman Orthopedics, they're giving us a total of four courtside tickets here. It's court-level tickets. Trey and Jamie, you'll be there. And then a listener, the winner of this contest, and a friend will go to the game as well, courtesy of Rothman Orthopedics. It's for Sunday's tip-off against the Hornets at 6 p.m. You win a pair of tickets, you win a parking pass, and comp food and drinks with those seats. So we're doing a little jersey math for today. We're going to give you the number of a 76er. We're going to give you the name of a 76er. You have to know the number. And then we'll give you the math problem as the day goes on today. Our first Sixers player that you have to know the jersey number for, Josh Richardson. So you have to listen throughout the show today. Josh Richardson. At 7:30, we'll name another 76er. You have to take that number and add or subtract or multiply. We'll tell you at 7:30 what you have to do with Josh Richardson's number as well as this next Sixers player. At 7:30, we'll give you the next Sixers player. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. On the line with us right now, Ron Jaworski. Jaws, good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, top of the morning to you. And boy, I hate these bye weeks.
they suck, man. They really suck.
Yeah, we hate them.
They really do.
We hate them as spectators, but boy, we sure loved them when we were players.
As players, you want more bye weeks than games.
Josh, what's the best thing you ever did during a bye week when you were a player?
The best thing I ever did. That's a really hard question.
Did you have bye weeks? No, I'm not being a wise guy. I swear. When did bye weeks come into play?
I don't think we had like bye weeks where, you know, you get away. We had Thursday games and the Monday games. To my recollection, I don't think we had bye weeks. I mean, I retired in 89.
Yeah, I don't think we had them yet, Charles.
We had the bye weeks, so I can't give you a definitive answer on that.
Wow. Yeah. That sucks. That just sounds terrible. I can see why you hate them now even more. But when it comes to this Eagles team, they're at 5-4. And this morning, we're trying to find the number one reason for why this team isn't better than we thought. We thought this team, offensive juggernaut, obviously they've taken hits injury-wise. But what would you say is the number one reason this team is only 5-4 right now at the bye?
Well, outside of injuries, which, you know, you can never predict in professional football, I don't think the great players in this team have played great. And when you look at, you know, the NFL in general, when you have your high-paid players, the guys making the big bucks, they have to carry the football team. And then you augment your great star players with, you know, the guys you have to have, the middle-of-the-road kind of players. And you know, if you look at, say, Fletcher Cox. You know, Fletcher Cox the last couple games has just dominated football games. But until he got healthy, he wasn't dominating. He was a good player. Brandon Graham was a good player, but he wasn't dominating like you expect him to do. Carson Wentz has played very good football, but he hasn't dominated games and taken games over. So when I think of maybe a reason why this team hasn't been, you know, the prototypical team we thought it would be going into the season, the players are playing really good, but I think your star players have to play great to dominate games.
One of the reasons I look at is wide receiver play. And again, the injury to Deshaun Jackson is a tough one, but guys like Alshon Jeffrey, I give him credit for trying to play through an injury. Nelson Agholor's underperformed. Mac Collins can barely get targeted. Same thing with the second-round pick and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. When it comes to those wide receivers, how can they improve in the second half of the year?
Yeah, but these aren't surprises. You know, we knew what this receiving core was. I mean, that's why everyone was so excited about getting Deshaun Jackson out on the field, because clearly, you know, I went back this week and I looked at that when I knew Deshaun wasn't going to play again, at least maybe into the playoffs, I went back and looked at the Washington game. And there is such a discernible difference where the safety's played when he's in the lineup than when he's not in the lineup. I mean, it's really clear. The coverage schemes that you see are so much different, because in this game, you have to have a deep threat. You know, you have to have a guy that could just open everything up and create space for everyone else. And it's really different when he's not on the field. You know, we know what Alshon is. He's a good football player. He's not going to give you those big explosive plays down the field. He's going to body up. He's going to make great catches. Now, hey, he's obviously struggled last week with a few drops, but that's, you know, you don't expect that out of Alshon Jeffrey. You know, between Aguilar and all the other wide receivers, you have second and third options. You know, Doug's not calling plays to get the ball to those guys. They become secondary receivers, so, you know, that makes it much more difficult. And when I talk about the space, that's where the tight ends come in. And I think, you know, that's why Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, these guys have to be the guys as the team moves forward.
Speaking with Ron Jaworski, Ron, I certainly don't need to tell a former quarterback such as yourself, that a quarterback gets too much praise or too much blame. And yesterday, we asked the fans, basically, about Carson Wentz. and what letter grade would you give him? And most people said about 70% of our voting audience gave him a B. Now, he hasn't played at an elite level. He's not one of the top 5 or 10 quarterbacks in the league right now by most people's standards. But what is one thing that you could see or you'd like to see from Carson Wentz going forward this year? Something that he needs to improve upon just himself.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's a whole lot to improve upon. Mm-hmm. I have seen a nice, steady growth in Carson, and particularly, you know, I would put in this regard as a game manager, and I mean that in a positive way. For some reason, that connotation is through the years has become negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought his ability to be a field general has really been obvious as of late. He's getting this offense into the right play. I think he's much better at the line of scrimmage. He is very judicious with the football. He does not turn the football over. What I think his ratio is now is 15-4 touchdowns to interceptions. So he's very careful with the football, not putting his defense, you know, in a bad situation. And I think that's where the improvement has come. I think he's been careful when he's left the pocket. He's taken running opportunities when they presented themselves. I have seen a steady growth in Carson Wentz, and maybe the big numbers aren't reflected in the fact that he doesn't have a DeSean Jackson or the explosive receiver. So, you know, I'm very happy with the overall play of Carson Wentz.
Getting back to that explosive receiver and having that lack of speed, Jaws, my question to you is, can you use a Miles Sanders, a Darren Sproles maybe, to somehow use them as like a DeSean Jackson, to take, you know, use their speed to take that defense where you want them to go so that you can use other parts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Miles Sanders is the one player now that has that ability, that game-breaking speed. And you know, we've seen him get matched against a linebacker. You've seen him get down the field against, you know, the zone coverages and find the void. So as the season moves forward, yes, I probably should have mentioned that Miles Sanders has to be a guy that could give this offense some explosive plays. And Carson has done a real good job when he's on the field and reading those man coverage schemes where he knows he's going to get a linebacker on Sanders. And he's done a really good job of audibling and getting and taking advantage of those opportunities. So, yeah, I think Miles Sanders clearly as a receiver can help.
How much does it come down to trusting receivers, like a guy like Carson, trusting a guy to make a play for him like Nelson Agholor? Because we were making a comparison where Jalen Mills might not be the most talented defensive back in the NFL, and we know that he's not. But the man loves to compete. He loves to go out there and just give it everything that he's got. And we admire that in Philadelphia. You know that. And then when you watch a guy like Nelson Agholor, who doesn't look like he is making every effort to try to catch a ball, why is it that, you know, some players can develop that trust when you know that that guy's given 110%?
Well, first of all, I can only, you know, give you what I see as mm-hmm. I watch the game as like a fan on television, then be more analytical when I look at the tape. You know, hey, there's a level of talent. And, you know, certainly there are great receivers in this league. Hey, even they drop balls. But I can say this about every player, you know, on this Eagle team. And you were specific about the receiving core. They're busting their butt every single play. You know, this team gives tremendous effort. Hey, sometimes drops will happen. Maybe the skill level isn't there to win every individual matchup, but I always see effort. And to me, that's the one thing that you want to see when you plug the tape in. Even though you're not the primary receiver and you may be the third or fourth, the defense always dictates where the quarterback's going to go with the football. And I see this receiving core, you know, working hard on every single play. Yeah, there are drops. Yeah, you know, we all know the Dallas play with Nelson Agholor. People were critical of that, and you know, we beat that to death.
Sure.
But when I look at this group as a whole, I mean, they're busting their tail on every single play. So that's a tribute to the coaching staff.
All right, now when it comes to that coaching staff, what would you like to see from Doug, from Mike Rowe, from Jim Schwartz when they return from the bye?
Well, I think what we've seen the last couple of weeks, I'd like to see continues. This team has morphed into from an offensive perspective, a little downhill power running football team. And they have been tremendous running the football, you know, between the tackles or you could even say, you know, between the tight ends, because the Eagles have gone to, you know, almost 2 out of 3 plays out of, you know, 2 tight end formations. So they have become a power running football team. And I actually like the way they're playing. More Carson Wentz under center. You've seen the screen game come back. So I think that, you know, I think after that Dallas Minnesota game, there was some soul searching going on and saying, hey, what are we going to do here? What's the strength of our offense? And let's get real here, guys. It's the offensive line. This is still, you know, one of the best, if not the best, offensive lines in football. And when they come off the ball, they are road graders. And we've seen it the last couple weeks where I think they have found that we can run the football, and that will set up some explosive plays by design in the play-action passing game.
How's the golf course looking right now there, Jaws? We out there?
It's going to be a little bit nippy today, but all the courses are in phenomenal shape. It's going to be 57 on Sunday, so with the bye week, I may have to sneak out.
Oh, there you go.
Can we still wear dresses, Jaws?
hey, if you want to give $10 to breast cancer awareness, wear a dress.
There we go. Nice. Why not? Ron, always great talking to you, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are awesome. Enjoy the bye week.
But we will. Thank you, Jaws.
Thanks,
you too.
Jaws.
I mean, get out there on the course. Rod Jaworski. Chiming in per usual. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll take a little closer look at that Eagles coaching staff in terms of what the adjustments they need to make in the second half of the season. Time of the Fanatic at 7:15.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Fanatic Pro Shop. Don't forget about that one, obviously. Brand new. Open on our website. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports theme merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open right now for browsing. Just in time for the holiday season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5thefanatic.com. Make sure you check that out on this fine, fine football Friday. 610-632-0975. Is there anything more adult than looking forward to a nap and yard work?
No. The other day I was excited at the possibility of buying a filing cabinet.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty lame.
You got a trash can like a year ago, right?
That was for Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Yeah.
Was it wrapped?
Hashtag adulting.
It was wrapped.
All right.
Looking forward to a naps, though. That's special. Because, you know, they're few and far between as adults. But when you get one where you're just like guilt-free napping,
yeah,
that's a party.
Oh, I get a strong nap every day.
Good for you, man. A little siesta.
Oh yeah,
I call it a siesta.
Yeah,
that's Spanish, by the way.
I'm the oldest one here, awesome, and I'm looking at you guys like you're ancient.
What?
Come on, man.
I'm just saying, life. Let's go. Oh, I live life. I live horde. I live real horde.
No, you know, being an adult is.
What's that?
How about walking into the house yesterday after work? Oh, that smells delicious. What's that? Well, I made a nice breakfast treat for the crew tomorrow. Here it sits.
Who made the nice breakfast treat?
You know who it might have been.
Donna. She got the oven.
Yeah.
Nice and hot.
Exactly at 425 degrees.
Got that where the yeast, it rolls.
Make sure that bread gets sweaty.
There it is.
What? She just texted me, take it back.
I have not partaken in the breakfast.
Yeah, thing. So she made a nice cinnamon apple little crumb cake or something there. Yeah, it's really good.
I participated.
Yes.
Delicious.
Sprinkle some crumbs on the top.
We are.
It's ready to be cut.
Yeah, that's why I say adulting and not adults, because we're not. We're still children.
Have fun with the yard work.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it.
What kind of yard work you have to do?
You've seen my little city backyard.
Yeah,
right?
What are you doing?
Yeah, so I got the grill in the corner.
Right.
It's just sitting all nice in this little area. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to level that out. I'm going to put stone down. I have these like stone slabs. I'm going to put them down, put the grill on top so it's a nice like stone. I'm extending the patio essentially.
Okay.
I'm going to level it out first.
Oh.
So there's digging involved.
Oh, wow.
I'm just debating whether or not to smoke a cigar while I'm doing this.
No, I'm thinking after.
sit back,
look at all your work.
And then you look at it. Yeah, you look at it for a little while.
Yeah, just go to the moment. Look what I did.
Put the level on top
exactly.
of the grill when you're done, and then you just sit there and look at the level.
my carpenter's level, which is
It's going to be cold out.
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not that cold.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, I'm fine. I don't mind the cold, but like Mark's kind of a sissy when it comes to cold.
What?
That's what I heard.
This is part of my childhood in Rochester, New York. I'll tell you cold.
Oh, how about that? Right.
How about that?
My fault. Maybe that was Jamie I was thinking of.
The butlers would spoon him for warmth.
Now, do your nipples get even harder when it's cold outside?
They're just consistently hard.
Okay.
Just really excited to attack every day, Bob. Yeah.
Your nipples are like, can we turn it up to 82? Mikey KOP would say, oh, coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to give for you the next jersey number for Sixers jersey match with these Rothman Orthopedics tickets.
I also have a tweet to share with you from a listener who was in Dallas recently.
I saw it. We'll get to that in 1 second. Mikey,
interesting.
Mikey KOP, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Excellent, right, sir.
Hey, so quick Eagles point. Wide receivers are still garbage.
Correct.
Anyway.
So is your phone.
Yes. Hey, I fixed it, actually. I figured out what the problem was. So I got it. I guess you got covered, hopefully.
But
nah.
Not really.
Bad job by you, Mike.
Let's try it. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got today?
Nothing. I got I'm looking forward to a bye week. I got a nice little Saturday all planned out. Kids playing in a soccer playoff. I got some yard work to do, I'm going to be moving some furniture for my brother-in-law. I mean, that's about it on the weekend, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. Maybe we get to Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm not sure.
That's good. That's a good time. Mike, let me ask you this.
Don't forget your 20% off coupon.
When your kids are playing soccer or whatever it might be, do you take the same attitude you do with like Philadelphia sports? Like, do they come off the field and are you like, wow, you played like Sidney Jones today?
I'm like a complete psychopath. The first game this season, my daughter, she's 11, and she's very, very athletic, but she's like very slacker, very like she just doesn't want to do it sometimes. And she came off the field, and I looked her in the eyes like, I'm disappointed in your effort today, and I just.
Good for you. That's good parenting.
Yeah, and I was like, look, I don't pay all this money to just watch you just kind of run around and talk to your friends. Like, get out there and play.
So, there you go. Mike,
totally see that.
See, Mike, awesome. Some people, thanks for calling, buddy. Some people would think that. But you say it.
Yeah. You're not out here to have fun.
And I'm with them. I'm with them right then and there. I know Toots is going to be the softy with Lil Toots when Lil Toots run around playing sports.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, no. In this family, you give effort.
Because
right?
That's all we got.
That's all we got. Yeah, we don't got talent. What are you, nuts?
No, you won't.
Yeah, my youngest son, when he played soccer, I had to sit down and look him in the eye and tell him, son, this game isn't for you. Let's find something else, because you suck at this. So let's find something else.
Yeah,
flag football is coming up, but this is it.
I had that with my oldest when he was playing street hockey.
And okay.
Little, 5 years old or whatever. And I look back to see him, he's playing defense, and I'm like, what's going on there? Well, his hands that had, gloves on him, little hockey gloves.
Yeah, right.
It was caught in his face mask, and he thought it was funny just to run around with his hand caught in his face mask. I was like, afterwards, you sure you like this?
I was willing to try almost any sport, but sooner or later, my parents had to intervene and just be like, this isn't, you should maybe just talk about this stuff because it's... The athletic ability's not there.
Maybe just talk about it.
Yeah, maybe just...
I handed you a microphone at six.
We know you like the sports, but don't play them. That's not a good idea. Criticize others. That's probably where you would... More. Well, the thing where you don't have to be athletic is probably the best thing for you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And here you go. Your second jersey. Your second Sixers player for the math. Next up. Al Horford. Add Al Horford to the previous Sixer that we mentioned at 7 o'clock. Add Al Horford for Jersey Math. Add Al Horford. 610-632-0975. Coming up at 9:45, we will announce the final math equation number. The winning number. When you add, you subtract, you multiply. We'll tell you what to do each time we give you the name of a Sixers player. You add it up. By the end of the show, we'll give you that number, and we'll take the first person that has the correct answer by the end of the show, and you will win Sixers tickets courtesy of the awesome people at Rothman Orthopedics, who are giving two Sixers tickets to the second row for Sunday's game at 6 p.m. versus the Hornets. You get a parking pass, comp food, comp drinks as well. You'll hang out with Trey. You'll hang out with Jamie. They'll be there this weekend hanging out with you and a friend. And once again, we want to thank the great people of Rothman Orthopedics. So, we started this contest today. And you know what? Don't let a pain in your back or shoulders really get to you. You got to call the people at Rothman Orthopedics. They'll take care of you as they take care of so many here at 97.5 The Fanatic and throughout the Delaware Valley. Proud partner. Rothman Orthopedics is the proud partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's get to Zach in South Philly. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I just want to touch base on talk about the Flyers.
Oh, what do you got on the Flyers last night? Fine little game for them.
Oh man, it was really satisfying to watch them win in overtime.
Well, what was wild is Carey Price comes up with 40 saves, and you're still able to get a victory against him with those kind of numbers. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Couturier scored a little trickler in overtime, but you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Carter Hart back in net as well. It's always good to see him, man.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the boys look good out there. I really want to talk about how good, you know, Claude Giroux looked last night. And also this new kid, Carson Tarwinski, man. He can just flat out play hockey. He bangs bodies. I love it. It's Flyer style.
What's his nickname? What's Tarwinski's nickname?
He doesn't have one yet.
Oh, man, he's not Twarzy?
Twarzy, I don't know.
Tarzan boy.
I'm going to go even more unoriginal. Skis.
Ah. I like it. You know, he just flat out plays hockey, man. He had a penalty shot attempt last night. You know, he's smart. He's physical. He's got hands. He can rip shots. And people love saying, shoot, in Philadelphia, and he rips shots.
He does, man. Thanks for the call, Zach. Appreciate it. He is, they've been playing aggressive. They've been playing good hockey, up-tempo, Elaine Vigneault style. It's good to see that kind
of. Phil Myers with a tremendous game last night.
Phil Myers doing a fine job for himself.
You're giving the youth some opportunities, and they're taking it.
Joel Farabee came up, scored some goals for it. Not too sure.
TK with the assist on the game winner.
Bob's
got me
crush.
I love TK.
Bob's crushing on TK.
I am.
If you're talking pucks.
I'll admit it. I don't care.
And you don't mention TK. Are you even talking pucks?
Right. Is that the official nickname, TK? Is he like neck knee?
It's my no. That's my name for him, TK.
I think TK.
He's my TK.
All right. Can't argue that.
I like the idea of TK being like, what's up, BC? like used to talking to each other in a very dramatic way. Mm-hmm. Jamie, go ahead and hit me with this. This is some breaking news as reported by a loyal listener and tweeter to the show. Is this from our boy Anthony?
Yeah, Anthony Dell at PHL Sports Talk on Twitter sends us three messages all kind of linked together here. He says, my friend went to Dallas for work this week, ran into Dez Bryant in his hotel lobby.
Oh.
Dez told him that Jason Peters called him and reached out.
Oh.
Not sure why, but one can speculate. He then includes a picture of his buddy with Dez in the hotel lobby.
Oh, it includes a picture.
Yes.
So it's a fish.
It looks it.
Now, the report is from a loyal listener, Dez Bryant was in a hotel lobby, his friend bumped into him, and that Jason Peters apparently reached out to Dez Bryant.
That's what he's reporting.
Let the rumor mill swirl.
Yeah.
He reached out to Dez Bryant for what? Just to, hey, what's up?
No, maybe. But it could also have been, hey, you feel like playing some football?
JP's a recruiter now?
Why not?
Okay.
What else is he doing?
Well, it's a bye week. You know, maybe we wanted to get together.
Maybe, bye week.
Maybe have a beverage.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Can we look into this?
How?
I don't know.
Yeah.
are you and JP cool?
Yeah, we're
you guys cool? I know you guys were like,
yeah we're cool.
Steel cage match fighting or whatever it was.
No, we're good.
I'm just telling you what I heard. That's all I'm just hearing. But yeah, so there you go. According to one of our loyal listeners and tweeters to the show, and I know this guy, great guy. I know his family, great people. He's saying that his buddy bumped into Dez Bryant, who said Jason Peters reached out to him. It sounds factual to me.
I'm going to go with it.
I'm running with it. This happens.
He's basically an eagle. Just kidding.
Let me reintroduce this question. This is something we're examining today in the bye week. Going into this weekend, why are the Eagles in the spot that they are in right now? What's the number one reason the Eagles are only 5-4 right now going into this bye week? 5-4 going into this weekend. Now, we thought offensive juggernaut when the season started. We thought the defense was going to be vastly improved because you added a guy like Malik Jackson. Those are two areas that you can talk about with the defensive line and also the offense where injuries have certainly settled in. DeSean Jackson's injury has been a huge buzzkill for this year. Malik Jackson on the defensive line, huge buzzkill for the amount of pressure used. Because it wasn't just about the interior of the defensive line. Mm. It was about helping out Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham get after the quarterback. Turns out, despite that, Brandon Graham on pace for a career year already.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the rest of his team, though, why aren't they better than what they've been? What's the number one reason? I go wide receivers. I go how disappointing that has been throughout the year. The play of Nelson Agholor, the inconsistency of Alshon Jeffrey. Matt Collins and JJ Arcega-Whiteside just not bringing it to the table week in and week out. That has been extremely disappointing. Throughout the entire season, it's been extremely disappointing. So what's the number one reason to you, Trey? Is it go, do you go wide receivers?
Yeah, I go wide receiver core, too. You know, and then right behind is secondary. You know, just with Malcolm Jenkins being out of position, the injuries that have happened there. You know, Sidney Jones kind of, you know, losing confidence. But number one for me is definitely receiving core, just because of the way things have been just playing out. I mean, when you're leading the league in drops, you know, that kind of puts you right high on the list for me.
5-4 right now, Bob. Still looking up at the Cowboys mm-hmm. take on the Vikings Sunday night. We got to revisit our Twitter poll in a minute. But what's the number one reason that the Eagles right now are just trying to cling to a playoff spot?
Yeah, to me, it was defensive backfield. Especially defensive backfield. I mean, when I look at the early games and going through everything, I mean, the first seven games of the season, you had a wide receiver going over 100 yards on you. Mm. You had quarterbacks throwing for over 400. We remember, I mean, the Dallas game, the Minnesota game, Detroit, they were just giving up tons of yardage, a lot of points. It's just, they couldn't hold them in games. And the offense, I hear you with the wide receivers. The only reason I don't go there is because I think the running backs can help you carry through how bad the wide receivers and the tight ends and Carson Wentz. So I'm going to go defensive backfield. But, you know, I know we always say, yeah, there's going to be injuries everywhere. But my God, I was going back through game by game of the inactives. It's amazing when you open the book and you say 7 starters. 8 starters, 6 starters that are out every game. Mm. Guys you were relying on. Like Trey mentioned some of them, but Mills, Darby, Maddox, Jernigan, Malik Jackson, Nigel Bradham. Mm. Those are all starters on your defensive side of the ball that have been out.
And if you go back to the Atlanta game, it's when you lost those starters.
Right.
Which was either
in
game
two.
Yeah, well, it's not just for what it meant for the remainder of the season, but in terms of trying to adjust for a game plan. Just before or at the start of the game against the Falcons,
right?
You know, Dallas Goedert, no Alshon Jeffrey, no DeSean Jackson, like right before the game?
Yeah. Oh, Doug, excuse me, before you go out on that field, not only are you missing all those defensive starters that I just mentioned.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're also missing your backup tight end, and you run 12 personnel all the time, and your 2 starting wide receivers. Like, I go defensive backfield 1, but the more this morning has gone on, I'm leaning towards injury, man. It's bad.
We all do.
And Trey, no more than anybody, hates him more than Trey because it's part of the game. But
sure.
Man, this is a big part of this season.
Well, then it goes to the GM for not having adequate backups.
Mm,
I mean, that was why you won in 2017.
Mm, all right, we'll continue to examine this because there's one that I think we're leaving out that we'll get to a little bit here at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock today. We'll get into it. We'll also give you your third Sixers name for Sixer jersey math. Now you're going to have to add up these numbers or subtract these numbers. We'll tell you what to do as the show goes on today. And then we will give the winning ticket number. We'll give the tickets to the winner of the Sixers jersey math by the end of the show today. And you'll find yourself sitting court level with Trey and Jamie. You and a friend with Trey and Jamie on Sunday. We'll continue that going. But number one reason, one of the number one reasons you're looking at as to why the Eagles are where they are. But first off, Sam, they're looking up at the Cowboys who take on the Vikings Sunday night. So our question on this Football Friday is what?
It is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, will the Cowboys lose this weekend? We have just under 1,300 votes. Only 64% say yes.
Oh, come on. Let's get some more optimism going. I love the people that have commented, I hate them, but they're going to win. 610-632-0975.
It's going to be a real good game.
It is going to be a good game.
Yeah, it is. Going to be a pretty good game.
Time of the Fanatic, 742.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up 9:30 today, we're going to be talking to Phillies general manager Matt Klentak other than the press conference introduced Joe Girardi, we really haven't heard from Matt Klentak this offseason. Winter meetings coming up not too much longer, right?
Yeah, they're going to be an interesting one.
Extremely interesting. And there's a lot of things I want to get into with Matt Klentak. Most notably, can we expect another big money acquisition in the offseason?
Well, you better. They're in trouble.
I get it. And, you know, John Middleton will never say the word small market team, as we've heard a million years ago about the Phillies from their ownership group. But you have $330 million invested in Bryce Harper. You desperately need help in your pitching staff. I mean, Aaron Nola, you're getting at a bargain price. So do you go out there and get Gerrit Cole? How much in play are they going to be for a guy like Gerrit Cole, for guys like Anthony Rendon? How much more in play are they going to be for those other big market, big name, big money free agents that are going to be available?
Your boy Jim Salisbury really seems to believe that Scott Boras wants to direct somebody towards Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper is the Boras golden child.
Uh-huh.
So I do put some credence in that.
Absolutely.
And Cole is a Boras guy, right?
Yes, and so is Strasburg.
That's right, yeah.
And then you have Wheeler as well being available from the Mets.
He terrifies me a little bit because of the injury history, but he's been... His second half splits over the last 2 or 3 years are pretty damn remarkable.
And then Cole Hamels also said he'd love to come back to Philadelphia if... He's in Philadelphia's plans. So we'll ask him about all that. And then the other thing is JT Realmuto just racking up the awards.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Yeah,
cha-ching.
Yeah, I hear you. He's blinking dollar signs right about now.
A little bit. 610-632-0975. So we'll talk to Phillies GM Matt Klentak at 9:30 today. And one other thing we'll follow up on with him is what the hell with Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, what happened?
And I might just ask the question in that manner. Because I think that's the number one thing people said about last season. How could you rely so much on the offense when it regressed, actually, especially your four-hole hitter in Rhys Hoskins, and rely so much on your lineup, your bats, and then the arms completely implode throughout the season? Even now, Aaron Nola's ERA went up a full run, more than a run.
How similarly or differently do you feel this offseason compared to last year with the Phillies?
It's different because Bryce Harper was such a name. It was such a sexy name out there that you wanted to get. But are you talking about what in terms of
anticipation? Because I think you're closer now. All right, you got Harper. So your feeling was, oh, they're going to get a big name, big name, big name. Got him. Didn't take you to where you got to get where you wanted to go. Big name performed. Big name is here. Now you're kind of fitting pieces to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think anticipation might even be higher this year because the goal. Realistically, is bigger.
I
know what you're saying. I'm not feeling it either.
If Rhys Hoskins doesn't hit 190 in the second half of the season, maybe I feel a little bit more like, they're close. But I don't even know what we have in Rhys Hoskins anymore.
I don't think Rhys Hoskins knows what Rhys Hoskins is anymore.
So it's a good thing we'll have the GM on at 9:30 today. Get some answers to these questions.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I've heard that, Rhys... his attitude in the second half of the season wasn't exactly what they had hoped for.
So this is another interesting question. I'm glad you brought that up, Jamie. We'll get Matt Klentak's opinion about Rhys Hoskins' bachelor party attire.
Well, it's fair. Princess Toadstool.
We're journalists.
Questions need to be asked.
We asked about underwear before in Commando, so it's only fair that we talk to him about his players dressing up as princesses.
That's just, what's going on there?
It was odd.
Yeah, very odd.
Let's call it what it was. It was odd.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Yes.
All right, now, I mentioned this before. We're trying to find out why the Eagles are in the position that they're in right now. How this happened. Because we all talked about a juggernaut before the season, and it wasn't just us. National media, or everybody, saying the Eagles, top team in the NFC, in the NFC, they're a Super Bowl contender. You had guys saying Carson Wentz can be the MVP of the league, and that's certainly not going to happen. So why are they in the spot that they are? We talked about the wide receivers. We talked about the secondary. Who I have immediately after the wide receivers as the number two reason the Eagles are where they are right now? Coaching. I can't believe that the Eagles coaching staff has allowed the mayhem to take place, whether that be a guy like Nelson Agholor, in my opinion, not giving max effort. If you want to say it's just talent, fine. But I see a guy not turning around to make a play on a ball with Prince Amukamara over the top last weekend, and there's no excuse there. I see time and time again, multiple times this season, the defense having too many men on the field have to run off. Not enough guys on the field. Nobody runs on. That's coaching. I see plays that work with this offense, especially with how well your offensive line is played. and you get away from it at times. The screen game has worked phenomenally well for this offense, and you barely see that involved in the game plan, but when you do, it works. And I understand you're not going to run it every time. You're not going to run it, you know, every quarter or anything like that. But you know it works. Why not see one a game and you don't see that? It worked perfectly against the Packers. It worked again this past weekend against the Bears. Why am I not seeing more of that? When we've talked about multiple times, Jason Kelce being at his best when he can get off the line of scrimmage, go downfield, make blocks. Brandon Brooks playing at the high level that he's been playing at all season long, Trey. Mm-hmm. You see him get off the line of scrimmage, make blocks downfield.
Trey was drunk last night saying Incognito is the best right guard in football. Nah, bro. Nah.
I missed that. He said that? What an idiot.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham has been, Brandon Brooks has been phenomenal.
Ridiculous.
I mean, ridiculous.
He should be comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been balling this year. I mean, he has really, coming back off of injury as quick as he did and just the way he's been attacking every game. And I mean, you know, it's just been just really good just to watch him go out there and just dominate players. I mean, he's been doing a really excellent job.
Yeah, and not just, you know, back to the level of play that he is at. I mean, basically back to the all-pro level.
I don't think anybody expected him to be back at an all-pro level right away. Him probably.
Barrett Brooks and I talked about that on Quick Slants yesterday. Comeback player of the year, getting some accolades for the big sexies up front. Really, it comes down to Brandon Brooks, and it comes down to, Jimmy Garoppolo for comeback player of the year?
Yeah, Garoppolo's not big.
Those are probably the two guys that you could look at and saying, all right, if you want a little hardware for some NFL players, yeah, it comes down to Garoppolo, it comes down to Brandon Brooks.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Nobody else out there really, Trey, after that. But when you watch how well that offensive line is
maybe
played,
a Dalvin Cook you could throw in the mix. I'm trying to think of other guys that had injuries. But yeah, I mean, Brandon Brooks is very deserving.
But you look at the guys that play so well in this offensive line as an entire unit, and you're not using them to one of their best abilities, which is getting out there in the screen game. And a guy like Miles Sanders with his speed can get behind it. You've tried it with Alshon Jeffrey. That I'm not too keen on anymore. Mm. But watching Miles Sanders get behind that, Jordan Howard has done it like he did against Green Bay. Darren Sproles, if you can get him involved in it for one or two plays a game. That works. Why don't you see more of what works with this offense? It comes down to coaching.
Yeah, and then too, like you don't want to... You can't keep running screen all the back to back. I think that, you know, you have to kind of continue to mix it into the game plan. And it's just the timing of it. I think also too, you know, you're starting to figure out, all right, sometimes you can't always send the tackles out in the screen. Sometimes it has to just be the two guards and centers and the center. So, you know, let's make sure that we can get out there and get in the way. I would prefer if when they got in the screen game, get out there and cut. Instead of staying up and getting in the way of the running backs, to me, I would rather get out there, cut. You have, because when you
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.